This is CliffCentral.com. Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on CliffCentral.com.
Right, folks, good morning. Monday morning, 9 o'clock, and we've got an empty studio because apparently traffic is absolutely insane.
Did you say apparently?
Well, it is insane out there.
It is insane.
Really?
Just from the off-ramp, the Rivonia off-ramp coming from the south.
Yes.
And just to make it to the first traffic light, it took me 15 minutes.
That is crazy.
1-5.
And dead still.
And then when I get to the traffic lights, you know when traffic lights are not working, you can like say, okay, well, it's the same old, same old.
Yes.
But it's an accident. It's actually a big metro bus that has hit a white Toyota Hi-Ace taxi.
So a bus and a taxi.
Yeah.
Public transport for you, hey? Public transport.
Listen, don't say that. You and I will be taking a taxi soon, remember?
So I got in early. I was on my scooter this morning. Traffic is not an issue in my world. So I'm calm. And
today was the one day I want to be on a bike, and I've decided even what bike I want.
What do you
want?
So
we'll ask Matt and
Vilmarie when they
what they think of what I want.
Yeah.
Marak Shirat, let me tell you what I want.
Tell me.
I want a 390 KTM Juke. That thing is nice and portable. It's not the fastest bike.
But you don't need fast.
My point exactly. I saw today. Fast. Do you know how many little scooters just went? Even people on bicycles. I'm like, is it a sign that? Because today we're talking all things bikes.
Yeah, we're talking all things bikes. And, you know.
I and then God decided, let me slow you all down and give you a reason.
Give me a real reason.
Why you should be on a bike.
Exactly, guys. So if you've just joined us, welcome to Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour. Brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. My name's Tyron Woods. I'm the host of the show. I've got Teppo in studio with me. And I would love to introduce our guests who are, like we said, still sitting in traffic. Vilmarie Janssen van Rensburg, SA Speed Queen, and Matt Durrance.
Why are they stuck in traffic?
Well, I don't know. They're stuck in traffic.
I mean, they're bike gurus, correct?
Yeah, but they came in cars. I don't know why. Well, Matt, I don't know why. I think Matt got lost, to be honest.
Oh, his car don't have no GPS?
No, I don't think he's got GPS on
can
the
bike.
Can
we get Mike a car from Auto Trader?
I actually think he's on. Yeah, we can. Should we find him?
Can we log on autotrader.co.za, find him a car?
100%.
That's got GPS.
GPS?
And then, you know, with hands-free and everything.
And we'll have to get him a new phone so we can, you know.
I'll probably get him a bike from autotrader.co.za.
And definitely get a bike. Definitely. So listen, guys, we got a full show this morning.
Yes.
Couple of things that are creating waves in the marketplace.
Okay. And, in the motoring marketplace.
Yes, and the first one is that apparently
Number plates.
Number plates are going to change. We're going to all have to get new number plates.
But is that now confirmed? Because I saw, I think it was a hoax, or what was it? Is it not real? Is it confirmed?
Well, okay, so in terms of the background that I've what I've established is there was documentation published in a government gazette stating that this change is going to happen, and it first came to light in 2015, and apparently the changes are now going to actually take place in 2017. So, I mean, if it's in a government gazette, then I don't think it can't be nonsense.
Why would they be? I suppose they're running out numbers, and it also helps you track how many cars there are, and how many illegal ones, and
That's the thing, and I think if you do go online, I mean, there's a hell of a lot of information about this on Wheels 24, and they put a kind of research piece out, and 26,000 people have responded, and they're all up in arms about this because everyone thinks that this is another kind of scam by government
to
make money.
I want a tender to print number plates.
But that's the thing, and if you actually, you know, we just say, oh, number plate for the car. But if you actually understand how, you know, it's quite an intricate, that big fancy word.
Yeah.
It's quite a detailed process to get.
It's
to get
complicated as well.
It's very complicated, and you know that the
because it means we must all go back and queue in again and re-register and
we're going to have to do it every 5 years.
Look, the good news is they'll catch the criminals who duplicate cars.
But that's exactly why they want to do it. So if you think about it, it's going to cost you $350 to renew your license plates every 5 years. It's not a lot of money.
Yeah.
It's really not going to affect your pocket.
Especially for what they want to do it for.
Yes. But when you have a look at the number of cars on the road,
I saw them this morning.
Jesus. There's over 10 million registered vehicles on South African roads.
So there's probably another like 2 million that's not registered.
Yeah, exactly. And if you times that by 350, And I don't want to sound like Jay-Z here, so I need to get
okay,
this
here
right,
we go. Take a deep breath, buddy.
3,748,436,370 cents. That's right. That's a shitload of money. And I think maybe they're doing this because...
Why do you think I said when they tended to print number plates? Listen,
my man,
you and I go to do auto print.
Auto print.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The trusted registration printing company.
Exactly.
Marketplace. Auto print, you and I, buddy. Let's do this.
Well,
TNT.
You know, so the reason why they, you know, have to do this, your number plate is actually the identity number of your car. It's mm-hmm. the same as your, you know,
your ID number.
Your ID number. And we also know that the industry isn't regulated and the door's obviously wide open for corruption, you know, and this was obviously pointed out during the implementation of eTOL.
But I don't know. I think, you know what? I have so much faith in this country. I think corruption is getting smaller and smaller and smaller, especially with competition after the elections now.
100%.
So...
And I got... If they are going to do this because it's going to sort out those kind of issues and it's going to help regulate the industry so that we know that in, you know, after round one, we're not going to be being ripped off.
Marty,
I've got no issues with it.
If cars don't change VIN numbers, why should we change number plates?
Yeah, that's
why don't the VIN number become the number plate? Because it's the same number. You know what I mean? That's that's a car that it's a vehicle identification number.
Correct.
So why doesn't that VIN number become the number plate? I mean, I don't see any logic in changing plates all the time.
Yeah, sure, but
because every product comes with a VIN number, correct?
Yes, 100%, and that's the car's identification number.
And that way, we don't have to renew it every year.
Yeah, you make a...
Yeah, I'm a smart guy.
Yeah, you are.
But let me tell you why I'm so smart.
Minister of Transport.
Yeah. Then corruption is open. With me in charge. Yeah. Let me tell you, I'm so excited this morning.
Tell me, then.
You know the words WVN? Wade van Niekerk.
Yeah.
My word.
Jeez.
Boy. Can you give that boy a big round of applause? And some hooters and some revs there. But how amazing is that, 43.03 seconds.
I remember when Michael Johnson broke that world record. I remember watching
those games.
That's
17 years ago, isn't it?
I don't know. It was 96. Yeah. 20 years ago. Just, I couldn't believe it. And he ran in the hardest lane, which is the outside lane.
Yes.
You know?
He's what we call it, the underdog?
The underdog.
Hey, the underdog is so top dog right now.
We need to give him a proper kind of nickname. We'll call him the high ace or something.
Not high ace. Like what?
Yeah. What?
High ace, yeah.
The high ace.
Yeah, but I saw the high ace being hit by a metro bus there, so maybe not such a good idea.
Well, but yes. No. You know what? I think there's definitely guys out there now. Also, I don't know what the chap's name is, but he ran.
Because we've got six medals. We've got, seven medals now?
Seven medals.
One gold. Yeah, this fantastic country, Baba. This country. Watch out for this country. This corruption is going to go. Some people are going to die, and this corruption is. Did I say die?
No, you didn't. Anyway, back to the license plates. Do you know that we have over 400 variations of number plates in the 9 provinces? Because every province has a different.
Yeah.
And the MEC gets to decide what's on the number plates. When you look at Limpopo's number plates, there's baobab trees and elephants, and it looks like a cartoon strip.
So it's not standard?
No. But they want to standardize it.
Which makes a lot of sense.
Completely.
Because then the more different it is, the more open, like you said, doors of corruption are opening.
Yeah, exactly.
Because now Tsepo can make his own that looks like the other one. And there's those little engraved numbers on number plates that apparently they're legal. They have to be there. And there's a certain measurement of print that your number plate must be.
Yes.
I think it must be standard.
So the that's what they're going to look like. I've got a picture here. So it's going to have the South African flag on it, and then you'll
on the left, it's got a South
African flag. And then what they want to do is they want to have like a 4D QR code that will hold all the relevant information.
So the cops can just scan it, and then
cops
all the
will scan it, and they'll know exactly what the scoop is there. Yeah,
because that's how they do it. Already, you know, have you seen when you pull up to a roadblock? They've got that little camera, and they've got this speed reduction, sort of like a impromptu speed bump. And that camera on a tripod.
Yeah.
And it scans your number plate and goes, wee, 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 wee. And you know.
You know what's coming.
You know what's coming. And they say, it's up. Parsons, how are you, Mjana? No, go. I'm
like, lucky. They don't do that for me.
But those plates don't look too hot. Yeah, I suppose the international standard.
No, it's international standard. Exactly. Yeah. Just put the flag on it. You can have the letters, either CA or ND or whatever it is, plus the numbers, and it's sorted out.
How many numbers? Let's see. Do you have that picture up on autotrader.co.za?
Yeah, I'm sure the guys will put we'll put the picture up on our Facebook page.
So it's a flag on the top left.
Yeah,
and then the entire left of the number plate.
Yeah, with the QR code.
Yeah,
and then the letters followed by the numbers.
Okay.
Yeah. So it's I think it's a good thing. I really do. I think they're going to change it. And
That middle one, why does it have the code at the BCD and then MP at the end? Why does
Mpumalanga at the end instead of MP at the front?
Well,
I don't know. I think they should have it.
Yeah, it must be standard.
The province that you're in, and then the numbers
country
and the letter.
Country province number,
100%, 100%.
Standard.
But just some interesting stuff, that the number plate is covered with a retro-reflective sheeting, and that has a... it makes the number plates visible at day.
You know, I was hoping
during the night as well.
I was hoping it makes the camera not pick it up.
No, there are ways that you can cheat that, but we're not going to talk
about that.
Not going to talk about that today.
No,
yeah.
Not in this company. On this show. Not in
and
this
the
company.
Sheeting has to be
the what?
The legible. The sheeting.
Oh, sheeting. You said because just now you said the sheeting.
Sheeting. I'm having. Yeah. No, we're not. The other guys that are stuck in traffic are having a sheeting day. The sheeting must be eligible and permanent validation marks of the supplier. So that's how it's going to be regulated.
Jeez.
Yeah.
But now there's many suppliers.
But that's the thing. They'll regulate it. So only certain people will be able to print plates and not,
have
you know,
you seen Joseph how many shops print plates?
Well, that's why they want
to... I saw just in the Roodepoort area, I mean, every second corner, there's a plate printing shop.
Yeah.
So what are the regulations there? I mean, can I just go in and say, listen, I lost my number plate. It's VCL147GP, please. And then what do they have to do? They have to verify the number plate, get my ID number, or just say, okay, pay so much and have your plate printed. Because that way,
I think currently you can just go in and have them printed.
And it's a problem.
It is a problem. Like fill out a piece of paper and just get them done.
Because I can look, I mean, if I want your car, this is how it used to happen back in the day. Not that I did it. Ne?
Yeah.
There was something called my twins, which means you duplicate cars.
Yes.
Now,
okay.
If you have a taxi running in Mamelodi and it's VCL147GP,
yeah.
And then we can go steal one like yours and go do the number plate, but then it'll run in Rustenburg.
So how do they do that? Because they...
No, man, it's a stolen car with two number plates.
Oh.
With the same number plate.
Yeah.
I mean, it's two cars.
Get double the amount of fines.
Uh-huh. Well, no. I mean, who pays fines in the taxi business?
You have to pay fines. That's how we're going to regulate the interest. And just so you know, our guest has arrived.
Yeah.
Matt, how are you, man? How are you? Welcome to Auto Central, man. Good to have
Thank you
in the studio.
Thank you very much, Tyrone. Obviously, I'll have to start with, don't ever trust a biker. What a silly, especially a senile old one.
Meg, yeah.
I was somewhere else where
Meg,
I shouldn't have been.
I've got one question for you. Sorry, my name is Tsepo, Meg.
How's it, Tsepo? How are
you? I'm good yourself. Not lovely meeting you. One question.
Okay, just
why,
the one.
Why are you not on a bike this morning?
I am on a bike this morning.
And traffic caught you?
No. I have to say that I was double booked. Tyrone organized me last week and I made the silly mistake
That's
of being old
ago.
And useless.
That's
oh,
7 days ago. That's
it is 7 days. Well, it's a lifetime when you're this old.
Shit.
So yeah, I tell you what though, I have just found out again about the total and utter usefulness of two wheels in traffic because it is horrendous out there this morning.
I believe it's crazy. Tepo was stuck and Vilmarie's obviously still sitting in traffic.
Yeah, she could be there until December because it's insane at the moment.
Aye.
Hey!
Yeah, here.
Speak of the devil. Shame, looking a bit flustered.
I have to say, I came through from Kaya Sands, you may know that, it's out the other side of the dome, Lanseria Airport way. Mm. And I made it here into the centre of, well, we're in Rivonia.
Yes.
Did you take the November 1 North?
Yes, I came
Big
round
mistake,
that.
Eh?
Well, on a bike,
oh,
I
yeah, well,
possibly,
yeah.
I maybe, I couldn't, I, did you?
Yes.
I might have broken one or two laws. Possibly, maybe, you couldn't hold that against me with the lane splitting and possibly the speed. But I tell you what, it took me under 20 minutes. That's a quarter of the way round Joburg in heavy traffic. You may feel I'm breathing heavy, and that's not the stairs getting up here. That's just the adrenaline just quietening down.
Hello, Vilmarie.
Hello.
Welcome.
My breathing's also a little bit.
But that question, yes.
I have
thank
a question
you.
For you too, Vilmarie. Today we're talking all things bikes. Why are you not on a bike this morning?
I said to Tyrone this morning, this is the last time I'm actually not coming in again
in
a
car.
No. And I'm towing a trailer, a huge one. So, no.
Okay, bike. are there bikes on a trailer at least? Say that.
It's on its way. I'm going to pick up.
Oh,
so,
okay.
You know, so there is
okay,
a bit
we'll
of method,
you.
But I mean,
yeah.
No,
okay.
Never
I've
again.
Decided, after this traffic this morning, look, I'm a small frame guy, and I've decided, I know what bike, tell me if it's a weak bike or not, but I want a 390 Juke.
Oh,
for my size.
Beautiful.
For my size.
Beautiful, yeah.
That's exactly what I
but
want.
But I tell you what, don't get hung up on the size thing, though. I mean...
size doesn't matter, him. You said it.
Say
yeah,
that.
Okay. In terms of bikes, well, the same thing goes. You're on about a 390 Duke. Fantastic commuting bike. Looks the business. Plenty quick enough.
Yeah,
I mean, so you can't go wrong, can you?
Yeah, so on Auto Trader, how much would I get it for? Like, what?
I'll jump on
40, 45 grand.
Well, they're still pretty new, you know, so what are we looking at?
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. It's only a year
value.
Or so. They won't.
Yeah.
But there probably won't be many for sale, if any, I would have thought.
No, oh, trust me, there are already.
Really, people are already selling. Oh, yes. You've been looking, haven't you?
No, look, I've spent a lot of time in the car just getting here. So I'm like, And there's a KTM branch just down the Rivonia Road. So I'm like, I see. Okay, let's check quickly. Huh. So about, what, 50 secondhand? And
I don't know the secondhand value. Like I says, you'll have to check out the Auto Trader. Yeah. It's easy to do, isn't it? But I mean, with the biggest question, why haven't you gotten to two wheels before then?
I have. I told Tyrone I have.
Oh, that was a wife thing.
Yes. Ray, you do remember, Valmarie. I have. I had an 1100 Dragster. It was a bit too big for me, but I loved it.
Low seat height, though.
Yes.
Low seat height, but a big motorcycle.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was, yeah.
You were going for the image thing, weren't you?
Well, I mean, I'm a black guy.
Well, I'm a white guy. I like an image.
Yeah, but you cover your face. We don't. If you, put it, you put a full on helmet. We put that little.
The potty helmet.
Yeah, the potty
oh,
helmet.
Oh, I see. Look at me. Yeah.
And then, look, my wife's husband. No, my wife's husband. You know English. My wife's friend's husband had a fatal motor accident.
Yeah, and you only ever like, have one of those, don't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, and then she's like, no, I'm like, but it's not fair. It is not fair.
Look,
so I'm
it's one of those. It's weird, though, that no one, whenever, and this happens all the time, unfortunately. I don't know how we got onto this subject, but people die in cars as well, and no one ever tells their friends,
yeah, don't
hey,
get a car. Yeah.
We don't want to do that car
what I
thing.
Said to her. Yeah. That's exactly what I said. But anyway, so I'm decided. I might get one and lose one. Get a bike and lose a wife, or one of the. We'll see. We'll see.
Easy trade off, eh? You put your wife in the Auto Trader, you'll be done.
Trading. She'll be gone in a second. And Tyrone must never bid for it. I'll
No, I won't. I'm happy. I'm very happy with my scooter.
No, because
I seriously am. I absolutely
you.
Love that thing.
You're talking about his wife, Tyrone.
I love her as well.
Do you need anything more than a scooter, though, Tyrone? You know?
No, scooter.
So
no
I'll
comment.
Tell you what, and we'll get onto this just now, and I don't want to let the cat out the bag, but you guys have obviously just come back from Pirelli Bike of the Year, and. I can say that I picked the winner, which was...
Yeah, you did,
I was
eh?
quite proud that I did that.
Before we even went, when Harry was here.
Just judging on the looks of the bikes.
Really?
Right? So I haven't even ridden any of them. And I actually went to the dealership on Friday, on Sunday, and had a proper look. And geez, like it's
but
a
But what did you see? What made you choose? Like what
it's just
look?
Cool. It's the coolest bike.
You said you liked the cafe racer thing initially.
100%. And that's really what appeals to me. And I was actually thinking on the scooter coming here in my helmet. There's something about bikes that resonates, that's like an unspoken language that a bike can actually talk to you. And I'm starting to...
They tug at the heartstrings, don't they? Some of them.
I promise you now.
Look at you, talk about bikes.
Oh, man.
Getting all passionate.
It's so nice.
I've never seen this side of you, too.
So nice. So anyway, listen, I want to jump into that the bike of the year. Tell us how it went. And Valmarie, you were the first female judge on...
You have been on before. Yeah, I think, yes, you are the first and as yet only female judge we've had.
Yeah.
Which is actually your second time there, wasn't it, Valmarie?
Yes.
So it was a little bit of a different format this time.
You're also the first female to be late on the show.
Because, Matt, you put the whole event together, is that right?
Myself and Harry Fisher is my partner on the bike show. Yeah. Yes, we started 4 years ago. We just thought, you know, all this extra press that's generated by Car of the Year, why? Why can't bikes have some of the same thing?
100%.
You know? It's towards the end of the year and it gives everyone an extra chance to talk. Let's be honest, it doesn't matter which bike you're choosing away. Most people are going to be upset with the whole principle. You know, 15 bikes that are on the finalist list,
yes.
Only one of those is going to win. That means you've got 14... annoyed, you know. Yeah, I was trying to find a suitable
word. What do you
word,
look
yeah.
at? Though?
But you all. I mean, you all judge according to what you like, and you obviously get to
well,
all
there
ride.
There are a set of
bikes.
Parameters, you know. I mean, if you imagine we have an adventure bike and a sport bike and a cruiser on the bike of the year, and it's very difficult to then compare one against the other. So, what you're trying to do is look at that bike within its class. So, for instance, we had Kawasaki ZX10, a mega super bike. But that has to be compared against its previous incarnation. Is it better than the one that went before it? And mentally, when we're away, you have to line that bike up against all its competitors.
Sure.
So you have to pretend, okay, BMW's S1000 is here, Aprilia's RSV, Ducati's Panigale, they're all here. So you're judging the bike within its class first.
Okay.
And if it's made a great impact within its class, a better impact, say, than an adventure bike... Well, it worked perfectly this time. I don't think anyone really saw the Triumph Thruxton being the winner.
Yeah.
Deserved winner that it was.
That's a beautiful bike.
But within its class of bikes, I mean, how do you compare that against the Kawasaki ZX-10?
But that's exactly the thing. And it's hard to kind of, you know, understand
that.
Because essentially, you're not, you know, you're comparing apples with oranges and pears.
Yeah,
and
ultimately. So that's why I say, first of all, you judge it within its class. The Thruxton R has really... reinvigorated and upped the level for that class of retro bikes. Yeah. So ultimately, that's what gave it the win, the fact that it made such an impact in its own sphere.
Well, look, why? Because you're confused about why, how can it win against, let's say, the 10 or whatever. Yeah. Because like Matt and them said, it was the dark horse, say, you called it. I mean, it stood out for each journalist. It was the... oh, wow. You know, that whole wow factor about it, it was unexpected. So you see it, it's great, and it's already the best in its class. Mm. But then when we get to test it and ride it, there was, I don't think there was anything negative about it.
No,
anyone.
Nothing.
Wow.
Nothing.
No. Yeah.
Look, what did we have, 13 or 14 judges? Not one of them placed it lower than third, and 80% of them were second or first places. So it's that consistency that gave it the win.
And is that how the winner's then chosen? So it doesn't have to win in every category, but if it ranks in the top,
well, yeah, basically it's awarding points. So depending on where it finishes, it gets a set up. We use the old Formula One scoring system. So 10 points for a first place, 6, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Oh, I see.
And then you tot all those up from the judges at the end and you end up with an overall winner. As it turns out, the bike that came second was Honda's Africa Twin.
Yes.
Now, that's an adventure bike. I actually voted for that one top place. I thought it deserved to win. I voted the Thruxton R into second.
Okay.
Again, it's one of those placings that helped give it the overall win. Mm. But yeah, it's a fantastic competition. It's been going for 4 years now. We reckon overall, now some of these may overlap, but about 7 million people will read, listen, watch about the Pirelli Bike of the Year. And I tell you what, they're talking about bikes, and what's wrong with that?
Mm. Absolutely. I think that's, you know, the thing is, and we need events like this to really kind of elevate the profile of bikes. And if you're listening to us now, or you're sitting in the car and you're listening, until you've actually ridden one, You cannot have an opinion.
Yeah.
And I was one of those people. I unfortunately had to sell a car and I needed a mode of transport and I wasn't going to go and buy another vehicle. So I landed up buying a scooter. And that thing has revolutionized my life.
And isn't it amazing though? It is incredible. You've discovered then, Tyrone, that it's amazingly practical.
Yes,
practical. But it's also, I mean, look at him, he's invigorated. It's
even
he's a little scooter.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like what other vehicle turns commuting into an enjoyable passion?
Yeah. I mean, 100%.
What a magic trick.
Sitting in traffic, you look at all the space you have in your car and you're all by yourself. You're like, I don't need this space. I'm carrying so much weight for nothing. And I'm stuck with this weight. And geez, it's oh no, it was so heartbreaking.
So tell me, who gets annoyed then when the biker comes through lane splitting?
No, let me tell you.
I was this morning seeing you.
Yeah, because you weren't on one.
There's Matt. On the Honda. Yeah.
Do we know if that's a law that's been passed? Are you allowed a lane split in South Africa?
Yes and no, but...
What does it depend on? Well,
they say you must lane split with your indicators.
Really?
Oh, your hazards on.
Oh, no, your hazard lights.
So indicate your intention. So I'm going to split to the right. I'm going to split to the left. So it becomes a little bit...
like a Christmas tree going down the road. Ding, ding, ding. Because, I mean, that's how you split. You got to weave.
So it's a bit of a grey area.
As far as I know, it is legal. But again, there's the whole speed differential thing. I mean, split, don't we?
Yeah.
It's one of the beautiful things about bikes is that we get to smugly look down on all you tin box drivers as we sort of wander past.
Box drivers in the tin.
But it's going back to how you choose bikes, what is a definite no-no? Like, what makes the bike not to even make it to the top of the leg?
There aren't many things now. I mean, I review up bikes for a living and... only, I mean, very rarely, once a year maybe, I find a bike that I have to say, no, you don't want to be buying this.
Mm.
The damn things are so perfect these days. For me, it would be something like a faulty throttle response. In a world where you roll on the throttle and everything's perfect and measured, occasionally still with this technology being quite young, you can get jerky throttle response. Fit and finish, you know. I rode a top quality bike the other... let me say, it was a Ducati Multistrada Enduro. The damn thing rattled like a baby's cot in an earthquake.
Really?
Really annoyed me. So that would put me off, you know. Little niggly things that shouldn't be there.
When you say rattle, are you talking the sound of the exhaust? Or just
No, just the fit and finish of the bodywork and
like
the panels and bits.
Bits,
which is inherent in a V-twin, which tends to have a lot of vibration.
So
but this
not
is
like
the
vibration.
Well, don't get too carried away. There are good vibes and there are bad vibes. Yeah,
so okay, listen, we're about to go to a break, but before we do that, I just want to let you guys know. I don't know if you know, but American Chopper, I don't know if you guys
have yes, a TV
show.
Series,
yeah, with, yeah. The, with the Tuttles and stuff like that. Yeah. There's actually a biker build-off that is happening in Cape Town, and it sounds like it's the first kind of real biker build-off challenge that's going down. The bike shops that are involved are Motorcycles, Cave Customs and Anvil Craft. Each team's been given 80,000 rand to buy your basic bike, the parts, the materials, and obviously the service. Labor's obviously free, and they've got 100 days to build a bike. So I think that's quite
a lot. That's a lot, eh?
3 months.
Is that
3 months?
I think that's
that's overkill.
Well, yeah, you see the Tuttles and stuff do it in the space of a week, but then. I wouldn't want to ride any of their bikes. Right, yeah,
they also work around the clock, though, it looks like. Because essentially there's 3 work days in a normal 24-hour period, if you
yes,
think about
yeah,
it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Well, so what are we saying? They're giving themselves a year to build.
Yeah, well, if you work it out like that and you've got teams working around the clock, that's what it's going to be. Yeah. Is there anything you wanted to say?
No. Cool. I just think maybe I'm used to the racing guys. You have to build.
Well, absolutely, Vilmarie. Yeah, I smash my bike up, I go out again in 45 minutes. Don't worry, darling. Yeah, we'll have it ready.
Matt won't ride it.
I can't ride it. I did have a reputation in the past for crashing a lot. That has since changed. I'm nice, old and slow now.
Old and slow.
So not just quickly, while I've got some bikers in the house, yeah? The bike is the Thruxton R.
The winner.
Yeah, the winner. The song that I've picked is Steppenwolf, Born to be Wild.
Oh, I like
Born to
what,
be Wild.
What road are you riding on?
What road am I riding on?
Yeah. I've given you the bike. I've given you the song. You tell me the road.
St. Bernard's Pass in Switzerland. It goes out the back of my sister's house, up over the Alps and into Italy.
Fantastic.
It's amazing.
Awesome. We'll be back after this, guys.
CliffCentral.com.
Not everyone who likes cars is a petrolhead. Some of us prefer the unmotoring side of cars. Yet we all spend so much time in these machines that they have become an extension of our personalities and reflect quite a bit about who we are and where we are in our life stages. On Auto Central, we understand this.
Make sure you're up to speed with all things motoring by tuning into Auto Central every Monday morning at 9 a.m. just after the Gareth Cliff Show, or download the podcast on autotrader.co.za. Auto Central, motoring's biggest power hour, powered by Auto Trader. Car news and reviews on Auto Central.
Right, we're back. So we're talking bike of the year, Pirelli bike of the year, and as we said, we've got Matt Durrams in the studio. And
Vilman, say that again.
Is it Durrams?
That's pretty close.
I'm sorry, I just had to. Isn't it Durrams?
Well, you can say it however you like. Durrams.
Yeah. Remember, I asked you, I was like, how do you say it? Is it Durrans, Durrans, Durrans? So it's Durrans.
Durrans.
Durrans, yeah. Durrans, yeah. Durrans is a recht Afrikaans.
Yeah, that's like a witte dag. So, guys, listen, thanks very much for being here again. And, you guys are going to unpack the gold, silver, and the bronze. Yeah.
Starting in bronze place was an adventure bike. Believe it or not, it was another Triumph. Bearing in mind we had a Triumph Thruxton at the top. In third place, it was Triumph's new Explorer, which is their 1200cc triple-cylinder adventure bike.
The EXA?
Yes.
EXA, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, it's just a very large... It's an update of an existing model, remember? But comes with ride-by-wire throttle, which is where you get to have all these different riding modes and you can put advanced electronics on a bike. I must admit to being a fairly horrible off-road adventure rider. I'm not very good at it. Okay. But most of the manufacturers will tell you that these bikes, 95% of them, more than 9 out of 10 of these motorcycles will very rarely see the dirt. They're actually used as road bikes.
Yeah.
They make, because these adventure bikes, their riding position, they make great all-rounders, great commuters, and primarily great tourers. Yeah. Yes. So. Yeah. I judge it on that basis. What do you reckon, Vilmarie? It's a big bike, but it's a lovely, smooth, creamy tour, isn't it?
I loved the heated seats.
Yeah, because you guys were worried about the cold weather.
Cold, yeah, I remember we talked about this.
Remember we thought all this black ice stuff going around.
It was
around.
A tad chilly, wasn't it?
It was. So I loved the seat when I got it and the heated grips. And yes, it's a fantastic bike for my frame. Personally, it's too big.
Yes,
because you know
possibly,
I like the Tiger, which is a bit smaller. For me, you know, on the farm. It really works as a 10K dirt road. It's fantastic. And for the Tar, it's great. So
they built as dual purpose bikes, am I right?
Yes, yeah.
That's, it's got the spoke wheels.
Yeah, so like all these, they're termed adventure bikes.
Yeah.
They are, look, we all have images of Charlie Borman and Ewan McGregor doing the long way round where we're all going to head off, especially people my age, you know, that get into a midlife crisis. I need to reaffirm my masculinity. I'm going to go to the North Pole with just a pair of flip-flops.
Yeah.
And that's, it's like the Santon 4x4s, as they're called, isn't it? Yeah. These are exactly those sort of vehicles. Yeah. Great for going up and down curbs, but that's about as much action as they'll ever see.
And you actually see a lot of them on the roads. I think just, you know.
Huge. Biggest selling class in South Africa.
But that's exactly what I was going to say. You see more and more of these type of bikes out there.
And remember what I said now, technology-wise, and I think it's the same with the cars. You get all this fantastic technology, but you've got to know how to use it.
Yeah.
I have a pic of you and Simon looking very confused. Well,
we'll talk about their technology in our tech segment, because I don't want to give anything away. But were they looking confused?
It was a valid point, because actually at the start of this year, given what happened last year, we had all the manufacturers come out. Imagine all the bikes lined up for the journalists to get on. Mm. Now, last year, we did find out that we're a bit thick, and we didn't really understand how most of these, because there's a lot of button pushing. I tell you, there's sub menus and sub menus.
It's like flying a helicopter.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, yes, for someone of our limited abilities. So the manufacturers came out this time and basically went through the electronics for us so that we wouldn't be so confused.
But even once you've been through that, can you remember? And then we were, do you remember everything?
No.
Is it actually practical? Because some of them you must do as you ride, correct?
You can change on the move, absolutely. You can change traction control settings. You can change the level of your heated seat. How roasty do you want your bottom to be?
Those things are bad for guys. Heated seats are not
I don't have any children. Now I know why.
Apparently that is bad. Yeah, yes. Okay, right. Nice. And silver medal went to the Honda Africa Twin. Is that right?
Yes, DCT. Another adventure bike. Yeah, the DCT, which is a dual clutch transmission. It's basically an automatic bike. Very clever piece of technology. I think what impressed the judges about the Africa Twin, it is more of an adventure bike. It is more off-road oriented.
Okay.
And what I personally enjoyed was the fact that in a world of, I can't even believe this now, 150, 160 horsepower, it used to be super bikes, adventure bikes, which is what in kilowatts? I don't understand kilowatts. No. That's for bloody light bulbs. Okay, so 150 horsepower superbike makes sense to me. 150 horsepower adventure bike. Who needs that? It makes no sense. So Honda came along with a parallel twin that makes 100 horsepower, but is really geared for off-road adventure.
Okay.
And that's why it did so well. Like I said, it got four or five places for top of the pile. So.
But I mean, in general, I mean, the quality of bikes coming out nowadays it really looks like it's out there. There's nothing bad out there.
No.
You can't afford to make crap, can you? Mm. Otherwise, it's just not going to sell.
Yeah,
so,
not going to sell.
You know, and I think the consumer, and with obviously technology and stuff like that,
but they'll be delivering pizza and McDonald's.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's styling. It makes a difference, and obviously pricing's got to be good as well. Comfort, they're getting right. Suspension, everything. There isn't really, you know, here and there. It's, I think, personal preferences as well.
It
which
is
we
a
saw.
Lot, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So
and then the gold medal.
Yeah. Wait, one ticker of the
bike. Well, I agree with you, Tyrone. I mean, you only need to look at this bike, don't you? And it just screams class. There's so many lovely details on it. I could talk about the polished top yoke, the levers, the engine cases, the suspension, the colour of the bodywork, the fact that the tank has got a kind of strap across it that harks back to the olden days. I mean, this is what they call a retro bike, which is designed to look like bikes of yesteryear. And this, for me, this is really the first one that pulls off that look and melds it with modern technology in such a way that both sides of the equation work.
If you didn't know and you looked at the spark, you'd reckon somebody has done that in their garage.
Yes.
That's how cool it is. It almost looks like it's been a, you know,
custom,
one of those custom
type of,
you know, builds. It really, really is a spectacular bike.
And but Triumph in general, I mean, that's one of the things that Arnold's so passionate about, is that Triumph, they are very passionate about their product, their brand, every part of it when they build it. Same with Ducati.
Yeah,
I think it's the resurgence. For me, I mean, it's changed a lot. I've been doing bike journalism for 25 years or so. And when I started, it was all the Japanese bikes and the Japanese manufacturers were pushing the boundaries and setting the limits. Since the financial crash of like 2008, I think it was, the Japanese have really reined the horns in and they haven't done much, to be honest. But the European manufacturers have somehow seen this as an opportunity. So your Triumphs, KTMs, BMWs, Ducatis, Moto Guzzis, Aprilias, they're all having record years and producing fantastically interesting products.
Yeah.
whereas the Japanese aren't. Mm.
So there's obviously going to be a resurgence. They'll take stock of that, and obviously
you'll see it. Yeah, I think they were hit more hard by the financial crash, and they took a more conservative long view. But it's a kind of chicken and egg thing. They've stopped producing largely really interesting new bikes. We're seeing a resurgence now, the Africa Twin, the R1, that sort of thing. But having not produced anything really cool for 7-8 years, their sales have declined.
Yeah, it's going to bite you, yeah.
But, because of that reason.
But now, are you aware of the earthquake and the whole thing with Honda? I mean, this affects now the...
Yes, unfortunately, one of their factories in Japan was damaged again by another earthquake. Unfortunately, the factory that makes the Africa Twin. Mm. So they've got this brand new model on their hands, which everybody in the world wants, and unfortunately, they can't make them.
Which the other manufacturers are a little... slightly happy about.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. I don't know about slightly.
On the side.
They're very happy about
it. Because it is a good bike.
Yeah.
You know, that's why it was rated.
What's the top speed on it, though?
Kind of irrelevant on the adventure bikes. Yeah. I'd say about just shade over 200 k's an hour, which is plenty when you imagine that ideally you've got your partner on the back and loaded down with luggage and you're going to see the sights. Pretty difficult to see the scenery when you're doing 200.
That's true.
Plenty.
That's true. Yeah. Crazy. The Thruxton this year compared to its predecessor, I know the engine was increased.
Oh, completely different. Effectively, you can say completely different.
Okay, so it's like a brand new bike.
Yeah. Almost changed its focus. Previously, it was a kind of relaxed, heavy kind of status symbol. You didn't really want to ride it that far.
Yeah.
I can hear Triumph in the background in the Ethernet absolutely screaming at me now. But it was a bit of a soft, dull old thing.
Sure.
It's changed its focus now, yeah.
And now it's a 1200, I see.
Yeah.
And then
parallel twin.
Yeah, parallel twin. And I think they retail for 155K.
No,
that's
about
that's the standard one.
Yeah.
The R has got the Brembo brakes and the forks.
Suspension, yeah. So, yeah, 150. What was that? 150, 155?
155 and then 175 for the R. Yeah.
Which at 155, 150, it's a brilliant bargain. And yet, this may sound strange, at 175 or whatever, with all the extra bits on, it's even more of a bargain. Mm. That's the Thruxton R, that won the competition. The standard one offers a lot, but you get, for an extra 20 grand on the price, you probably get, if you had to buy the parts individually, about another 50, 60 grand's worth of stuff on
there. I believe it also comes with more accessories than Lady Gaga.
Yes.
It's got a catalogue of over 160 personalised parts.
Really?
Well, that's, yeah.
That's the way of the future.
It, yeah.
Yeah, no, well, personalising. Yeah. But you think that's big. You want to open a Harley-Davidson catalogue.
Exactly. I was going to say, now, that's where they make their money.
I don't, 25,000 parts.
Because it's more a lifestyle thing. I mean, you need to look the part.
Yes, you do. Exactly. I mean, let's be honest. We like being cool. And bikers are cool.
Bikers are cool.
And I think anyone can get on that bike. Guy, old, young, girl, black, white, doesn't matter.
Inexperienced, bike, experienced. No, you're right, Vilmarie. It's a good point.
That bike
easy
is
to ride.
Just show itself off wherever you stop.
Well, and you're going to want to park it outside the news cafe or wherever
100%.
It is. And it's one of those bikes. There are a few that do it to me these days. You go for a test, you go for a long ride, you come back at the end of the day, you know it's a good bike. After you've spent all day with it, you take your helmet off, you walk into the house, and then you turn round for just one last.
Oh, wow.
You know, when it can do that to you, you know it's got to you.
That you kiss that goodnight off. You kiss your wife goodnight, you know. Go back to the garage and get a
lovely
peck on the
So what's your next bike, T?
This.
I was going to
100%, but I'm not even going to
why not?
Bother looking at anything else. I know what I want.
But now my question to you is...
Oh, here we go.
You don't have to answer now.
Did we make a difference in that choice? The Pirelli bike of the year.
No, because I picked this when.
But did we confirm it?
Yes.
Yeah. No, 100%. Yeah. No, I'm not making a shit decision.
So the Pirelli bike of the year has had an effect.
Yeah.
It is a fairly old judging panel, which apart from Vilmarie, of course. Yeah, sorry.
the rose amongst
like,
the thorns.
Yeah.
We worked out when I did the awards dinner the other night. Between the 13 judges, there's over 400 years of riding experience.
Jeez, look.
So we know what we're talking about.
Mine's
we like
only
to think
20
so.
Years of that.
Yeah, that's why they needed you. You've got to hand it over. The legacy has to be left
exactly.
to somebody.
Exactly. We need the new blood in there.
But I must tell you, what a great group of guys.
I'm sure.
I had such a jaw, really. The place we stayed, you know, stopping
the
and
road.
Just picking the road, picking keys up, and then, let's try this bike. It was fantastic.
Although... last year we didn't have any crashes. Look, these are motorbikes. This sort of thing does happen. And this year we had two crashes. I'm glad to say both guys are all right. Okay. One of them was rather seriously injured. Got taken off the Sarby to Hazyview Road by a helicopter.
Oh, my word.
There is one common denominator. Actually, there are two common denominators here. Both of them had Afrikaans surnames, the crashes.
Well,
and both of them happened to be riding with a certain Ville-Marie.
No.
Oh, where they're chasing you.
Oh, the major distraction.
No, he was in front of me.
He was trying to show off there. That's always the problem, yeah, you know. Ville-Marie's there, dressed in her leathers, looking quite spanky. And then one of the lads goes, I think the way is it? Watch this.
Yeah. Look, all I asked him was, do you think we can catch them?
Oh, there were some guys in front of them, so.
And they were on the superbike, so he's like, and next minute,
okay. So that explains the first one. And then what happened in the second? Actually, possibly you weren't.
I weren't involved there.
Directly.
I was waved off and said someone, and then I had to look and found him in the bushes.
Yeah, he was in the bushes, and his bike was a long way in the
really
bushes.
Really in the bushes. Yeah.
So did they replace those bikes then if they obviously weren't
No,
viable?
Unfortunately not. We were away. It was the last day.
Oh,
so,
okay, so
they don't care anymore. You
the manufacturer was a Ducati 959 Panigale. Lovely sports bike, I have to say, but not that model. Not that particular example, because it ended up in the bushes halfway up the cliff.
Yes.
And we dragged it out of there with the tie downs.
My word.
I've two questions. One, when I want to buy a bike, like what should I look at? My size, my weight? Besides the money, let's put the money out, the affordability out of the picture. How important is...
It needs to be easy to ride.
Experience for me is also important because, well, in some cases, if you're a responsible rider, then buying a superbike I'm okay with. But you get, don't you agree?
Yeah, I'm sort of, yeah, you can have any bike you want because the throttle works both ways. But,
yeah, but some people don't
no, I know. The temptation with 200 horsepower in a 200 kilo package is, it's like
you see,
a drug.
You know already you must be able to stop that 200 k's an hour. Someone who doesn't know, and they'll only figure out when they get there and it could be too late. So, you know.
I mean, do you have a motorcycle license already?
No.
Okay, if you're basically starting out as a beginner, I would say your example of the 390 Duke is perfect.
Okay.
You want something with a modest amount of horsepower. You can't use all that horsepower anyway. And as Ville-Marie says, you need to go to a school.
Training
like Ville-Marie's and get the basics. Otherwise, you know,
you
don't get an 18-year-old learner driver in a Lamborghini Aventador or whatever. Do you? It's just asking for trouble.
Or
it's
you
the same
see,
thing.
Yeah, you see an incident sooner or later.
Because I've seen. I mean, there's now an explosion of the love of bikes, and especially in the black young business people.
Yeah. Cool.
And they go for their first bikes. They go for like their big machines.
It's understandable, isn't it? You've earned yourself some money. You want to splash out. You are showing off. It's a status symbol to the people around you. Yeah, I can totally understand it. However, a cooler head should prevail, and you need to learn your skills, and that means being on the road for a couple of years. Listen, in Europe, they have a rule. I think it's like 40 horsepower. So you get your first motorcycle exam, and in fact, you go on a practical. Then they let you have a learner's, and you keep that learner's for anywhere around 2 years, and you're not allowed a bike with over 40 horsepower.
But that makes complete sense.
Of course it makes sense.
We are too late for that. We are way too late for that. With the number of bikes that are out there.
I definitely think that that's something that should be,
instituted. I agree. Because it restricts the speed, the throttle.
Well, the insane thing, you take it one step further in South Africa, is that you can literally go and do a, how old is it, 18, 17 18, or 18?
18. 18.
And you take a multiple choice written exam. No one has ever seen if you can even operate a throttle and a clutch. And you can leave that exam centre on a 1300cc, 340 km/h Hayabusa.
No,
that makes no
absolutely
sense.
Crazy. And on that note, we'll be back in about 10 seconds, and we're going to be talking technology in the motorbike industry.
Mm-hmm. Talking tech on Auto Central.
And that's how quick our 400 meter athlete was.
Was that 2 seconds?
Yeah, it was a 2 second
break.
It
wasn't 10,
No, it wasn't.
Wade is fast.
I said something.
Yeah. What did you want to say?
No.
Come, let us in. Come on.
Technology in the biking industry, and you guys have alluded to some of the stuff.
Yeah.
I think the first thing, I've got 5 points here, but feel free to...
far away. Let's see what sparks your interest.
This ride-by-wire technology, can you just elaborate on that? So instead of the old kind of throttle system... ride-by-wire is now an advanced technology that they're putting into bikes. And
I'm sure it's in cars already, is it? It's basically electronic. So in the old days, your throttle literally pulled a wire cable, which would then operate the carburetors, would determine how much fuel is fed into your engine. Now there is that cable has turned into literally a digital wire.
Okay.
So you twist the throttle, the signal goes to a little brain. The brain then interprets that as to how much it needs to squirt in via fuel injection nowadays. Now the difference is with ride-by-wire, with a cable,
with a cable you
could, it's just that you twist and it operates. With ride-by-wire, in theory, the brain can interrupt what the bike's brain. So you twist for full maximum throttle, except it's in a particular riding mode that says, no, you stupid man, we're only giving you 50% throttle now, and we'll wait until it's built speed. So that it allows a degree of intervention. So this is where we get all the riding modes from. You know, your sport, your street, your touring, that sort of thing.
Fantastic. But you can disengage that, mustn't it?
You can disengage it or change it. And the fact nowadays, a bit like your personal settings on your PVR phone, you can actually set, well, ignore that, I want max throttle all the time, and
or for rain, road or gravel.
And in gravel, sand, in adventure bikes, it's very, very clever indeed.
Right, point number two, adaptive motorcycle headlights. I believe there's quite a bit of tech happening around that. I don't know if that's a new development, but
it's like following the cars again, you know, so they can what they say is that it'll lean around a corner. There is a unique problem with a bike, is at night, the light just does not light up the road ahead. If you've ever watched motorcycle endurance racing, you kind of bit freaked out at the beginning. At night, you see them going down the straight. They have one headlight pointed dead ahead, and then they have one headlight that's pointed in the sky. So when the bike leans into a turn, the headlight that's pointed into the sky then points around the corner. So this is what they're trying to do with technology now, which is make lights that follow the corner ahead.
Yeah, I suppose with a car, you know, you've obviously got a much broader front, you know, and the lights shine on a wider angle, which is with
and
the bike,
fog lamps
with the
one. Come on when you...
Yeah, exactly. This, I think, is really, really awesome, and I can kind of understand, you know, why guys are going this route, but augmented reality helmets. I know there was Scully.
Augmented reality.
When we had the research guy? Because I still asked him about what you see in the...
Yeah.
So touch screens are obviously dominating the, you know, the dashboards in vehicles. And
I don't
think helmets.
We have it yet.
Well, there was...
It's coming.
Awesome.
Yeah.
It's coming. Well, we don't know.
BMW are working on it. There's been... to be honest, I think this is a step too far. When you ride a motorbike, you've got a visor that you look through. You need all your concentration on the road. They're 100%. On about being able to feed in images of the road behind, your phone details. They'll put a navigation app inside your screen, a bit like you might imagine an astronaut who's looking around.
That's exactly what it is.
But I think that's just going to take your eyes
it's
off the
hazard.
Road, isn't
too
it?
Much.
Because whether you have to look at the road, I mean,
you can already get systems that you can plonk on your helmet, allows you to talk to friends within a group,
like 1.6 kilometers, isn't it?
Yeah, and then also try answer your phone and stuff while you're on the move. Don't do it. One of the great things about biking is the silence inside your helmet,
100%.
And you try riding a bike quickly while you're having a conversation with your mother-in-law about what you're eating on Sunday.
No.
You're going to die.
Yeah, you're going to die. Exactly.
Only man speaks to mother-in-law.
Yeah. No.
And she's Afrikaans, isn't she?
She is Afrikaans. It's a stilted conversation.
Motorbike is it's quite therapeutic. I mean, that's why you speak
exactly,
about silence inside
exactly.
your helmet.
It's your time. It's your alone time.
Yeah.
And if you don't get that, why are you on bikes?
Yeah,
it's a kind of counterintuitive thing, because I noticed, particularly in South Africa, the biker club culture is massive.
Yeah.
All the patch-wearing dudes, I mean, the clubs here are huge. And I've sort of never really understood that. You know, I like...
Why not?
I like the camaraderie of the bike clubs, but I like to ride on my own a lot of the times. Mm-hmm. Like Phil Marie says, it's something that can be enjoyed. It's often better enjoyed on your own, to be honest. Mm.
And isn't it more dangerous to be riding in groups in these clubs?
Yes.
Yes.
Because you now have to think for 5 or 10 or however many is
in your
group.
Immediate surrounding.
Because whoever makes a silly mistake
it
is going to
affect all of you.
100%.
Yeah, it amplifies so quickly. And you don't enjoy the ride because you're so busy judging your distance to and from the guys around you that you're not looking at the road. You're not enjoying the scenery.
Yeah.
So whenever that happens, I usually just fall off the back a couple hundred meters and then I can relax.
And actually take it in, and actually enjoy the experience of riding a bike. Folks, unfortunately, that
we've
is another
out.
Hour.
We need more.
I know.
No, before we go, guys, come, can we...
Do we?
Can we go until 11 o'clock?
left off.
What is that bikers would want to say to motorists? Are they like what do you want to say to them?
What to people in cars?
Yeah,
just, you know, think
chill
bark.
Out, give us some space.
Yeah, think bark, man.
We're actually doing you a favor, because the more of us that are on two wheels, the less are in cars, and the quicker you're going to get to work. Yeah. So give us some space, give us a wave and a smile. Yeah. And we won't knock your wing mirrors
if,
off.
If I can. You know, everyone in a car should take an opportunity to get on a bike, because you're going to...
So they know.
You're going to understand the risk for us a little more.
Yeah.
And it's... Yeah.
There we go. We offer 1 pillion ride on the back of me through traffic as Ooh. Quickly as possible.
There we go.
That'll ruin biking for you for the rest of your life.
100%.
Ville-Marie, thanks very much for being in studio.
Matt's
been an absolute pleasure. And
yeah,
I'm sure
sorry
we'll,
for being late.
No,
sorry.
No worries. We'll get you back on. T, it's always a pleasure, my brother.
Yeah.
Thank you so much.
I remember sitting watching TV and I'm looking at Matt. I'm like, am I ever going to meet the guy? And I have.
Now you have.
Yeah, I apologize for the disappointment.
No, it's fine. From all of us at Auto Central, brought to you by autotrader.co.za, your trusted motoring marketplace. Join us on Facebook and Twitter and use our handles at autotradersa, Trupor, at Trupor, at TDWoods01.
Don't be silly.
Don't be silly. We don't have a handle. All right, guys. Thanks very much. Until next week. And those that tuned in live, thank you very much. Download our podcast and tell us what you think of the show. Cheers.
Auto Central, powered by Auto Trader on cliffcentral.com.